إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، فإن شاء الله تعالى tonight's topic is about the title for it was blind following of scholars, I believe. And this topic I wanted to be of two parts. And actually it should take a lot of time for us to speak about the scholars and the importance of the scholars and what's the best way to deal with the scholars, the ulama, and their virtues, and how the Salaf, the early generation, dealt with this issue of the scholars and things like that, and of course about blind following and if this is something permissible or not, and how to deal with the different opinions among the scholars and things like that. So it's a lot of issues that is very important for the Muslim to understand, especially at that time of that we live in, where there's no respect, or not too much respect has been given to the scholars, and they are so scarce now, very scarce nowadays on this earth, which is signs of the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and give us steadfastness. So all these issues need to be dealt with so that we can follow the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the proper way. So one part is who are the scholars and how virtuous are the scholars and things like that. And the other thing is how to deal with them and how to avoid blind following of scholars and whoever follows them. First of all, I would like to mention that the first thing is about virtuousness of an ulama or scholars. The scholars basically are the inheritors of the Prophet, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the inheritance of the Prophet are the scholars, because the Prophet did not leave any wealth, but they left knowledge where they passed by to these people that learned the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that He elevates in level the believers, and among the believers they are in so much great levels according to their knowledge. يَرْفَعَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. That Allah elevates those who believe levels, and among the believers, those who acquire knowledge, they are also in levels within the levels of the believers. As Ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates those who have knowledge, the scholars among the believers, over those who did not have knowledge, He would raise them in so many higher levels than normal believers. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that is authentic, narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's an authentic hadith, that he alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ حَتَّى النَّمْلَةَ فِي جُحْرِهَا وَحَتَّى الْحُوتَ فِي الْبَحْرِ لَا يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى مُعَلِّمِ النَّاسِ الْخَيْرِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His angels, even the ant in its house or in its place, even the fish in the sea, all of them make dua to the one that teaches people what is good. Meaning that every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make dua and they praise the one that teaches people righteousness, meaning the scholars of Islam. And also, Aisha radiallahu anha had mentioned in the same meaning in a different hadith that is authentic, also narrated by Imam al-Daylami, that all the creation of Allah, they all make dua and praise the one that teaches others the good, even the fish in the sea. And they make istighfar, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Also, the scholars are the ones who are in authority among the Muslims. See that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. With this ayah roughly translates that all who believe obey Allah and obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those of you who are in authority, and if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer to Allah and His Messenger. If you believe in Allah and in the last day, that is better and more suitable for final determination. So see, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse clearly says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, all you who believe. And this call is only to the believers. Obey Allah, أَطِيعُ Allah, obey Allah, and obey the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who are in authorities among you. And the ones who are in authority among the Muslims are the scholars. As Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, he said in the explanation of this verse, those ulil amri minkum, those who have authority, are the people of fiqh, the people of religion, the people of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who teach people the meaning of their religion, those who enjoin good and forbid evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory to obey them, of course, in within the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why in this verse, the word ati'u, meaning obeying, has been mentioned when it comes to obey Allah, and repeated and obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was not repeated when it comes to the people of authority, because their obedience is sub-obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means they are the ones that teaches us how to obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly in the verse ordering us to obey them, to obey the scholars in matters of our religion, because we had entrusted them with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they conveyed it to us, and with clear evidence and clear proofs from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the one to be followed basically is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the one that the wahy, the revelation, have been revealed to him, and none but him alayhi salatu wasalam, and he is the only one that we were obliged to obey. But since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us, and he has left this world, he has passed this revelation to his companions, and the companions had left it to the generations that came after them. And the ones that took this religion and they preserved it for us without no change in it are those scholars of Islam, those who we are entrusted in conveying this great religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also like Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in the meaning of which that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to lead the people. He used to be the one in authority. And after him came the companions of the Prophet. And also the scholars of the religion, these are the ones that control and are in authority of the people when it comes in matters of religion and knowledge. And they are the ones in authority. And people have to obey them, for which they order when it comes to the obedience of Allah. And of course the leaders of the Muslims, not the scholars, but the leaders, the political leaders of the Muslims, they are the one that should be obeyed when it comes into dunya matters, when it comes into world affairs matters, then the people have to obey them. For example, if they make rules and laws that controls the behavior of people in certain cases, like for example the traffic law. This is not something that is part of the religion, but it's part of obeying the leaders. And that's something that people have to do. But in matters of the religion, the obedience has to be to the scholars with clear evidence and proof from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, you know, so many different sayings from the companions and from the scholars of how the obedience of the scholars should be, and how they are the ones like water for us. Without it, people would die. And the same thing, if people don't have the scholars, then who would ever convey this religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And see how they were with one another. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, his son Abdullah asked him, he told him, how was Imam al-Shafi'i? I always hear you making so much dua for him. And if you know, we know Imam Ahmad, Imam al-Shafi'i, one of the great four imams that preserved the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and did their best to try to get the sunnah and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every single aspect that he did. So he asked his father, I always see you making so much dua for him. He said, how was Imam al-Shafi'i? So he said, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he told his son, oh my son, he was like the sun to this world. He was like the sun to the world or to the earth. And he was like health to people. So can we take or can we ignore the sun or health for us? Meaning that Imam al-Shafi'i was like that to people. And who is saying this? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the great Imam and the great scholar in the religion of Islam. And they are the best of the people actually. The Prophet ﷺ has mentioned in the authentic hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad and Al-Darimi and Abu Dawood and more, that the virtuousness of the scholar over the worshipper is like the virtuousness of the moon when it's full over the rest of the stars in the sky. That means, see how the moon when it's full, you see it and you barely can see anything besides it, meaning the stars and things like that. The same thing when it comes to the scholar and the one that is in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but does not have the knowledge like the scholars do, they are more virtuous on the rest of the Muslims. And they are, as the Prophet ﷺ completes the hadith, وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, and the scholars are the inheritors of the Prophet. And the Prophet did not inherit wealth or dinar and dirham, which is the unit of currency at the time, but they had inherited knowledge, and whoever takes it, he has taken a great success. So the scholars of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, they are the protectors of this religion, and they are the one that saves it from bid'ah, from innovation and from changing. And also they are awliyaullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the ones, when you see them, they remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, if the fuqaha, if the scholars were not the friends of Allah, then who would be then? That means they are the ones that are the closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ also said that part of or a sign of destruction to humanity is when the scholars are gone. When the scholars of the religion are gone, this is a sign of destruction of humanity. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, that he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. Which roughly means that indeed Allah does not take away the knowledge out of the chest of his slaves, but he takes the knowledge by taking the scholars, meaning by the death of the scholars. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make people forget the knowledge all of a sudden when he wants to take the knowledge away, but it happens by the death of the scholars. Till there is no scholar that people would take ignorant figures and they would ask them, so they would reply to them without knowledge and they would lead people astray and they would be astray themselves. Which shows how important is the scholar to the rest of the ummah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned that the knowledge would not be taken away from the chest of people, but it's taken away by the death of the scholars, meaning the death of one scholar is like a great calamity to the whole ummah, because they are the ones that teaches the good and teaches the Quran and teaches the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the death of one of them is a great calamity to the whole ummah. More calamity than and so much of the calamities that the people would see. And this is the saying of so many of the Sahaba and the scholars in Islam. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, do you know what the knowledge when it goes away means? They said yes. He said when the scholars are gone, meaning when, by the death of the scholars. Also, Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said that the death of the scholar is like a break in Islam. Nothing would fix it as long as the day and night are coming. Meaning the death of a scholar is something that is causes a break in this in the people and their religion and so on, because they are the ones that teach people teach people how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this virtuousness, and it's so many different hadiths and so many different things of how the scholars, these people that learn this religion and they teach it to us, to others, how they are then preferred over everyone as far as their virtuousness and things like that, that we as Muslims should acknowledge that and we should obey them in the good. And we should give them the right and the manners of dealing with the scholars, in which, inshallah, maybe we can speak about these different matters in times to come, inshallah ta'ala. If you want to know about so many examples with this, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and he is one of the companions of the Prophet and one of the great scholars of the companions, he is Abdullah ibn Umar. When he would go to Mecca, and there's the Mufti, the one that gives fatwa in Mecca, his name is Afa, although he was from the Tabi'een, from the second generation, but whenever Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he would go to Mecca, he would tell them, you're coming to ask me when you have Afa ibn Rabah among you. I mean, how can you ask me when you have Afa among you? Although Afa, he was not a companion of Prophet, but he was even from the second generation. But this is to show how the people of knowledge are being put in higher status in because of how great service they do for the Muslims. And as I mentioned, great virtuousness to them, and it's not the time actually to mention and to talk about these different virtuousness of the scholars, but just in small detail, I would like to mention, first of all, the principles that we go by in this religion. First of all, we take the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the two sources of our religion. And that's how the scholars, when they seek knowledge in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The goal is to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not to follow anyone but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Qur'an, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهُمْ, which roughly translates that it is not for a believer man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have any option in their decision. That means whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders, then there's no one is allowed to cancel this order by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says regarding this verse, that this ayah includes all matters, and that if Allah and His Messenger decree the matter, no one can abandon, reject, or refuse their decree. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, that the only saying of the faithful believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them is that they say, we hear and we obey. And the ayah that I just mentioned, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those of you who are in authority, and if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer to Allah and His Messenger. If you believe in Allah and in the last day, that is better and more suitable for final determination. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has negated faith, iman, from those who disobey the Prophet ﷺ and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, but know by your Lord, they can have no faith until they make you, O Muhammad ﷺ, judge in all disputes between them, and find in themselves no resistance against your decision, and accept them with full submission. And this is the duty of the Muslim, and this is the job of the scholars, in which they would show to the people the sayings and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So their goals would never be that they want people to follow them, but to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the only one that is immune from mistakes is the Book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Battal, rahimahullah, said, one of the great scholars of this religion, he said the meaning of which says, immunity from error is only for the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the unanimity of the entire community, which is ijma' of scholars on a meaning contained in either one of them, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah. So the consensus among the scholars is part of that it's immune from error. If all the scholars had consensus in a certain matter, that means this can never have error in it. Also, this, when we know that this is the rules that we go by, in which we follow this religion, the Quran and the Sunnah and the consensus of the scholar, it makes it clear for us that we should understand that we do not blindly follow no one. So we only blind follow who? The Prophet ﷺ. To follow the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blindly, yes, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the wisdom behind everything that He has ordered for us to do. أَلَيَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. That means Allah knows His creation well, and that's why He has decreed what He has decreed for them. But when it comes to individuals after the Prophet ﷺ, then they are subjected to have errors. But who is the one that would show this error? And this is something very, very important that I would like to repeat it over and over again. Is it us as people, normal people, that don't have this means of knowledge like the scholars do? Or if the scholar had an error, who would show this error? It has to be a scholar too. So it's basically we just conveying what the scholars have been saying. But for us to sit and start speaking about the scholars and this scholar is wrong and this scholar is right from our own opinion, this is something very dangerous for the Muslim to do. And the example for this is that if we don't have knowledge of medicine, for example, and we go to a doctor, and this doctor writes a certain medicine for us, and this medicine, he says, by the will of Allah, will cure you of such and such, because it's a good medicine. And then if you take the medicine and you start saying, well, this doctor doesn't know anything, because this substance that is in the medicine may be not good for me and things like that, you're speaking out of no knowledge. Only a doctor can refute what this first doctor has said. The same thing with the scholars. Only scholars can refute what other scholars have said, showing the error that they had fallen in. And the error means that they had missed following the exact Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they would never intentionally go away from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But Allah has made the one that is immune from errors is the Prophet ﷺ, and this was done for a wisdom, so that we do not elevate people over what they are supposed to be. So the scholars come afterwards, they try to follow the Prophet ﷺ, but no one has the whole truth with him alone. So whenever they fall into mistakes, if the mistakes are clear, these are the mistakes that the scholars would show us also that this is a mistake. And so many different examples to that, but it's not for us, not our opinions, when we don't have the means of knowledge. We don't know the meanings of the ayahs of the Quran. We don't know the meanings of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We don't know what has been cancelled and what's not. We don't know the rules by which these orders or these rulings in the Sharia have been established. And the rules of usul al-fiqh and things like that has to be present to the person. He has to have gained so much knowledge before he can state his opinion. And that's something that we have to have respect for these scholars, in which if we are up to their levels as far as knowledge, then we can say something as regards to the their opinions and things like that. And of course, blind following is something that is forbidden for a Muslim to do. And most of the things that people do is old custom, that when a Muslim, for example, reaches adulthood and he's ready to learn the laws of this religion, they think that they have to follow one of the four madhahib, whether it's the Hanafi or the Maliki or the Shafi or the Hanbali, and the person is forced to follow his father's madhab, for example, and he would learn it and he would only follow it and obey it, and things like the other opinions are not correct and things like that, which makes it the blind following that is not correct. But for a student of knowledge, for example, as the scholars mentioned, it's preferred for him to start studying fiqh, for example, by studying on one of the four schools of thought. And then, after that, whenever he would cover the whole chapters of fiqh throughout one school of thought, for example, like he would start with the madhab al-Hanbali, madhab al-Ahmad, And then after that, he can go to separate issues and start seeing what's the most authentic and what's not, after he has acquired the means and the tools that he can do that, and after he can understand the sayings of the Prophet. But blindly following, that is what has been forbidden. As I said, there's evidence that we are only obliged to follow the Quran and the Sunnah. And there's no ayah in the Quran, there's no hadith of the Prophet that would mention that we have to follow a certain person or a certain school of thought or anything like that. But the goal is to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. And this was the goal of the four imams, that they tried to find the Sunnah of the Prophet in every aspect they did. And that's how they are so much righteousness. And all Muslims agree to the righteousness of the four imams. And these are the scholars of the Ummah who showed us the correct path and righteousness and taught us the rules of this religion. And we have to seek the benefit and the knowledge from these scholars of Islam. And also, we have to know that no one is immune from committing mistakes. The Prophet ﷺ has showed that in Hadith, that it roughly translates that if the ruler or the scholar rules in a matter, performing ijtihad, and reach the correct decision, then he will gain two rewards, for his jihad and for correctness. If the ruler or the scholar rules performing his jihad and reach the one decision, then he will gain one reward for his jihad. So not everything that a mujtahid, a scholar that can perform his jihad says is correct. Rather, his decision may be right or wrong, and reaching the one decision will not compromise the status of a scholar, and that's another important issue. That if a scholar did not say the right decision in a certain matter, does not compromise his status as a great scholar, because he still gets the reward because he tried or reached that opinion after making ijtihad, after striving and after having the tools that would allow him to find or reach this decision. And if he does and he was wrong, then he would get reward for his striving to find the truth. But the followers should not follow him if they know that it's not correct by the sayings of the other scholars. So blind following a madhab is not something that a Muslim should do, and should always seek the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So, if we want to say, what can a normal person do? People are divided into two categories, or three categories if we can say. One category is the scholars. As we mentioned, they are the ones that can have ijtihad and they can find the truth in the sayings of the Quran and the Sunnah. The second part are the students of knowledge, and the students of knowledge, they have to seek this knowledge from the scholars, not from their own, but from the scholars, and that's how this religion has been passed from one generation to the other. And if they seek it the proper way and they know how to learn this religion, and they would understand the sayings of the scholars. In most of the matters, that they would just be imitating the sayings of the scholars at the beginning, because they don't know how to differentiate between the sayings of the scholars. But the normal person that has not acquired the means and the tools to make him understand and comprehend this religion and the Arabic language and the Quran and the Sunnah and how what has been cancelled and what has not been cancelled, which is a nasikh or mansukh, and the matters of fiqh and things like that, in that case, what should they do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You should ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So if you trust a person's religion, and you trust his knowledge, and when I say when you trust his religion, and you trust his knowledge, it means that he has the knowledge that he can answer questions related to this religion. And he follows the Prophet ﷺ, follows the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the early generations of Islam, as-Salaf al-Salih, and not putting his mind into an intellect into the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather he is a follower of the Quran and the Sunnah, the way the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the early generations understood it. If you know this from the scholar and he trusts his knowledge and he trusts his religion, that he applies the religion and he has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the person would ask him. And whatever he is asked, and he gives the answer, then people should obey their opinion. not for them specifically, but because they know that this is what the Prophet ﷺ has done. And if it shows to them afterwards that it's not the correct opinion, then they have to leave it behind and follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and at the same time do not compromise the status of the scholar because he has tried to reach that opinion. And when we're talking about these things and differences in opinion, it's in very tiny little issues, but the major ones the scholars had agreed upon, and that's part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. Our creed, our belief, there's no differences in opinions regarding it. The aqidah, the belief, is one. When it comes to matters of worship, even the basic things in worship, there is no differences in opinion. There is no differences in opinion if there is 5 obligatory prayers or 4 obligatory prayers. There's consensus, it's only 5 obligatory prayers. And how many rak'ahs for Dhuhr, how many rak'ahs for Asr, how many rak'ahs for Maghrib. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should make shukr and sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these matters have not been had differences in opinions, because the matter of it is clear. Imagine there is differences in opinion. Should we pray Dhuhr 1 rak'ah or 4 rak'ah? It would create chaos among the Muslims. But Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved his religion. But then when it comes to the small issues of fiqh, then there is differences in opinion, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this for a wisdom behind it, so that people can strive and find and seek the truth, and Allah would reward them for their striving and for their finding and for trying to seek the best of the religion, to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every small aspect. And all these things are ways of rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened for his slaves. So when it comes to the small issues in fiqh and matters like this, then there are differences in opinion. As normal Muslims, that we don't have the knowledge to be able to differentiate between the differences of opinion, we should ask the people that we trust their religion and we trust their knowledge. And whenever they answer us, this is how we should apply, the same way when you go to the doctor. And that's how Allah has mentioned in the Quran regarding this scholar. But to be able to make up our own opinions and open the Quran and make our own opinions, this of course is a great danger, because we might misunderstand, because this religion is based on so many different rules that Allah had mentioned in the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned in the Sunnah and the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and how the hadith might be mentioned, that depends on the situation this hadith was revealed. As I give you, for example, if someone is reading the Quran and Allah says in the Quran, for example, as far as forbidding alcohol, and the ayah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى, do not approach prayers when you are intoxicated with drinking alcoholic beverages. If somebody reads this verse and doesn't have the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, and doesn't know that this verse has been cancelled by another one that forbade alcohol permanently, he might say, well, if I'm not intoxicated, that means I can pray. That means it's okay to be intoxicated, because the verse came only to forbid a person praying while he's intoxicated with alcoholic drinks. Of course, this is not the correct meaning of the verse, and the verse actually was cancelled, and it was a step towards forbidding alcohol, as we know that when the verses came, it came into steps. At first it was forbidden for a person to pray when he's intoxicated, and then afterwards alcoholic beverages became forbidden whatsoever. And so many different verses like that in the Quran, if it's not being accompanied with the understanding of the Sunnah and understanding of the companions radiallahu anhum and the early generations, and by applying the rules of the Sharia, then a person would never be able to follow the religion the proper way. So that's how we should follow the scholars, and having the correct opinion from them, because we try to seek the Prophet ﷺ and not the scholars themselves. And that's what the scholars actually, we know the scholar by how his strictly following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I said, some matters of the religion, the differences in opinion is not valid. That means the correct opinion is very clear. And in that case, a person should not follow the mistakes of the scholars. And who can tell that it's a mistake? It's the scholars too, not just us. And there is examples for this. And it's forbidden for the Muslim to obey the not correct opinion of the scholars, and he would be punished for such an act if he knows that the correct opinion is otherwise, because we were not ordered to follow the mistakes of the scholars, but rather follow the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many different issues to that. I would like to take certain topics and start speaking about them, maybe, you know, starting next week, and talk about how to deal with scholars and how to deal with the issues and how to deal with the differences in opinion, and before that, how to protect the scholars as far as backbiting and speaking about them, and what's the definition of a scholar, for example. A scholar is the one that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acts according to his knowledge that he has, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه says, ليس العلم عن كثرة الحديث إنما العلم خشية الله. Ilm or knowledge is not just by somebody that is speaking a lot or mentioning so many of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, but the knowledge is basically the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these scholars, the scholar has to have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to be a scholar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Hasan rahimahullah also said that the scholar is the one that his knowledge has been matching with his actions. And whoever his actions is different than his knowledge, then he is not a scholar whatsoever. And he also is known, the scholar is known by his eagerness to seek knowledge and his striving in learning this religion and being with scholars for long, long time as his teachers. And also he would be known also by his shuyukh, by his scholars that he learned from, and their witnessing for him that he is able and permissible for him to teach others and so on and so forth. He'll also be known by his steadfastness to the manhaj of Ahl-Sunnah wa Jama'ah, the manhaj of Ahl-Sunnah and Jama'ah, and the guidance of Al-Salaf al-Salih, the early generations of Islam, and his freedom from bid'ah, from innovation in the religion. This is part and all conditions for a person to be a scholar. Also his things that he came out of him, like his roots, his books, his answers, his manners with his students, and also his worship, and his khushu', his humbleness, and his good manners, and his steadfastness when different opinions come to him, and how strong he is in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also by the acceptance of the people to him, and the agreeing that he is among the scholars of this religion. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a slave of him, he calls Jibreel and he tells him, I love such and such to love him. So Jibreel alayhi salam would say that he would love him too. And then he would call in the heavens and he would say, Allah loves such and such person to love him. So the people of the heavens would love him, and also the acceptance for him will be put on earth. And the believers are the witnesses of Allah on earth, as the Prophet ﷺ said, if they talk nice, as far as the good believers, the ones that are following the Quran and the Sunnah, if they talk good about someone, that means they are the witnesses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his people on earth. As I said, so many different issues regarding this. Inshallah, we will try to continue this topic as far as how to deal with the scholars and what the best way to live our religion with that regard, especially in this time that we live in, as we said, when there's no authority whatsoever to the scholars over the people, and due to their scarcity, there's not too many of them, and the knowledge has not been passed the proper way it's supposed to be passed. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from evil acts, and to give us and to show us the right as right, and to make us follow it, and to show us the wrong as wrong, and to make us be away from it. And as I said, this is an introduction, and I hope inshallah that we continue in this topic. And if there's any questions, maybe things will be more clarified. If there's specific questions, inshallah we can try to ask. And hopefully maybe more people will be attended so that we can continue certain topics that is very important in that regard.
جزاكم الله خير.
That's actually a very difficult question, and it's not for me to say who are the major scholars of our time. But to be able to mention a scholar that people turn around and seek guidance from, this is something that is, unfortunately, you know, we have to search good for them, and we have to be very close to them. Of course, one of the major scholars in our time that has passed away, may Allah have mercy on them, like Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and Sheikh Nasruddin Albani. All these people are the great scholars of this time, and they passed away in very past manner. Like in a couple of years, they all passed away one after the other, which is actually not a good sign. And these types of issues, that when it happens like this, it's a sign that fitan would come, calamities would come by the death of the scholars. But still, alhamdulillah, there's so many scholars all over the world where people can learn from their knowledge. In every country of the Muslim world, almost every country you find scholars of this religion that would teach people the proper religion, not necessarily being advertised and known as far as media and things like that, but they are present. They teach people the proper religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this translation, and with translation of the Quran, you would always find mistakes, because the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language. That's how the beauty of this Quran is, and how the miraculous is in the language of the Arabic language in the Quran. So whenever you translate the meaning of the Quran, you would always have mistakes. So the translation of Abdullah Yusuf Ali is not maybe the best, not the best translation of the Quran there is. But, you know, may Allah reward him for what he did. I was mentioning about the translation of the Quran by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, that he was one of the early translations of the Quran, that at a time when there was no translations of the Quran but Abdullah Yusuf Ali. So he had did a great effort in spreading the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a lot of people accepted Islam by reading his translation to the Quran. But as I said, no one is perfect. And if you translate the Quran, you always have mistakes, because this Quran has been revealed in the Arabic language, and the miraculous thing in the Quran is in the Arabic language. So every time you translate the meanings to it, you would always have some mistakes. But some translations have less mistakes than the others, and Abdullah Yusuf Ali maybe have many mistakes in it. So may Allah reward him and have mercy on him that he has did this effort in translating the Quran. But there is other translations that is better than that one. But the advice that I would give myself to and the others, to not just stay with the translation of the Quran. We need to start learning the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the basic thing that we need to learn is the Arabic. We have to learn it and learn it, and to be able to think by using the Arabic language, and to be able to teach it to our kids when they were young, and things like that, so that they would have the beauty and the fun of understanding the Quran. The Quran, nothing is compared when you read the Quran in English, and then when you comprehend it in Arabic, and you read it in Arabic, it's a completely different story, and makes you a different Muslim altogether. So it's something that we should always encourage one another, to learn the Arabic, not just to learn how to speak it or learn certain words, but to immerse ourselves in it, so that we are knowledge very much, that we can reach a state where we can think with Arabic language. In that case, then we can comprehend the Quran the proper way, and we can feel the miracle of the Quran. The Quran is the miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the most important miracle in the Quran is in its linguistic, and how the language has been put together, that no mankind or even jinn can make verses like the Quran has. So it's something that we should think about, especially for our kids. If it's for us, we did not learn it, then we should not prevent our children from having this beauty of learning the Quran and learning the language of the Quran. I guess the best of the translation of the Quran so far is the translation of Mohsen Khan. The publishing of Dar es Salaam in Saudi Arabia, or the new versions of the translation that coming from Saudi Arabia, this is the good translation of the Quran, translation of the meaning of the verses, and not just translation directly from the verse. Mohsen Khan. As far as the signs of the end of the world, there are so many of them, and these signs are minor signs and major signs. The minor signs are also so many different hadiths that mention these minor signs.